Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you on your Sunday. I just want to encourage you today, maybe you're traveling down the highway and you're headed for a distance, maybe due to the fact of it's being Thanksgiving week, which is unbelievable. It's coming this week, Thursday. That is absolutely amazing. And it looks like for us in the state of Iowa, we're going to have some pretty good weather for people to travel to come into our state as family comes. I know I'm sure excited. My daughter and her family are all coming in from Colorado Springs to join us for Thanksgiving Day meal and enjoy the festivities. I can't say it enough. I can't wait to see my daughter and my son-in-law, my grandkids, and just what a great opportunity that's going to be. And I'm sure that many of you are feeling the same way as we head into this Thanksgiving Day week. So if you're traveling, be safe on your way, on your journey. Make sure you look out for the other guy. And especially this time of year, as we go through the state of Iowa, watch out for deer. Man, they are all over. They're in the rut. They're on their move. So give that extra moment as you travel and just be safe. And also, too, maybe you're on your way to church this morning. Again, I want to thank you for joining us today, for letting us to be a part of your Sunday morning. And also, too, many of you have shared with me, Mike, I listen to you right at home or in my shop or around. Again, I want to thank you so much for being part of Vital Ministries and listening to KBOE 104.9 FM on your radio. We just love partnering with KBOE as we do these teachings, and we're feel very blessed and very thankful. And I just want to give a shout out to KBOE. I'm thankful for them today because of so much of their willingness. We could not do this ministry had they not allowed us to participate on their radio station, and I want to thank them so much. And also, there's just so many people behind the scenes that do such great things. One of them is Bob. Bob's a great guy. He takes this, downloads it, puts it on for us for on Sunday morning. I just want to say, Bob, thank you for who you are and for what you do to help Vital Ministries be a success and also to be on the air. So with that being said, we're going to get started this morning, but I just want to bring a few things to your attention as we get ready, always get started. You know what? As being a ministry, it takes money for us to make it work. So if it's something that you would be willing to do, I know we're getting close to the end of the year, and you would like to make a donation to Vital Ministries, that would be fantastic. You can go to our vitalministries.org webpage, look on that, click on that. You can do the donation right online, or it also too shows you what our post box is, and you can send it to us as well through the mail. Whatever works for you. But I just, again, want to thank you. Also, too, we send out devotional 6 days a week, just between Vital Life and also, too, for Vital Men. Vital Life speaks to everyone in general. My wife does the writing for that, does a wonderful job. It's short, it's sweet, but man, it packs a powerful nugget. Also, too, we send out devotionals 5 days a week for men, and we have five different writers. And just what a great opportunity as men that we can come and see how God has got something for us in our day. So just a few things this morning to start with on your day and as you're traveling and also too as you're listening. See, this is our last teaching on the attitude of gratitude. As we acknowledge November as a month of thankfulness and gratefulness, don't we, as we think about November? But I think we've learned in the last few weeks that gratitude is an attitude. And for the Christian believer, it should be a lifestyle of not just in November, but every month in which we live. Is that so true? It's a change of thought. It's a change of process in how we think. And I think it's very, very important, especially in days like that we live in today where people are short. We see so many things of people being upset in a short amount of time. I encourage us as believers, now is the time to shine and allow your faith to work. Next week, as I shared with you, it's unbelievable that this Thursday is going to be Thanksgiving. We'll gather with family and friends and feast and give thanks for God for His provision. Don't you love Thanksgiving? I love it. It's one of the what I call the untainted holiday. As a nation, we'll observe God's bountiful blessing. We'll eat, watch football, and hopefully visit around the kitchen table or the front living room. This year, I'm really excited. Again, I shared with you, my family is coming from Colorado for Thanksgiving. Can't wait for that. And I'll get a love on my three grandkids and show them the farm for the first time and go with my family and do a day outing and just simply build memories. I encourage you as you go into this Thanksgiving Day weekend, man, we get an opportunity to have a big weekend, a four-day weekend in which we can give thanks, spend time with family, and just do kindness. I encourage you, look for opportunities to show blessing and kindness. Have an attitude of gratitude as you're out there, especially as you head into that Black Friday. Be patient. And for the same time, remembering those that aren't around the kitchen table at the same time, memories of happy moments. You know, folks, the truth of the fact is that holidays bring both joy and they also bring sadness at the same time, don't they? My heart goes out for those that have lost loved ones this past year who will not be sitting at the table. We pray that God's goodness and mercy will be upon that table in the midst of the sadness, but also too, realizing that death is not the final destination, isn't it, folks? For those that hope in Christ, there is the resurrection of the dead. And that gives us encouraging. I'll never forget the Thanksgiving in which I helped organize the Thanksgiving meal, in which a man who just got out of jail, literally got out of jail that morning, had no place to go. He couldn't drive. And we were at the right across the road from the jail here in our local county. And we had a Thanksgiving dinner. It was pretty cool. He came in and introduced himself and just said, "Hey, I just got out of jail. Can I eat with you?" I said, "Absolutely." So he told me that he had lost his license. And most of all, he just wanted to share with me, "Thank you for doing this. Thank you for the meal. Thank you for the opportunity. It has given me hope today." You know, it was interesting. That following week, he came that following Sunday and he came to church. He hugged me and he thanked me for simply on that Thanksgiving day, for being kind, for being having an attitude of what I'd say, well, like we've actually been talking about, having an attitude of gratitude. You never know about the moments in which you get opportunities. See, folks, that was Thanksgiving to me. He came to a feast as a sinner and came to know Christ as a Savior later on in his life, he shared with me. Today, I want to talk to us about the attitude of gratitude, the last week, our last teaching. But I want to look at something different as we look at it this Sunday, as we look at what if Thanksgiving could be a different kind of feast. I want to show you something, a feast of Thanksgiving with sinners. I want to take us to the Bible this morning. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 through 13. And this is where Jesus calls Matthew. In the book of Matthew itself, this is Matthew himself writing what is going on. Starting with verse 9 in my Bible, it says this: "As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Jesus says, 'Follow me and be my disciple.' Jesus said to him, 'So Matthew got up and followed him.' Later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. But when the Pharisees saw this, they asked him, and asked the disciples, 'Why does your teacher eat with such scum?' When Jesus heard this, he said, 'Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do.' Then he added, 'Now go and learn the meaning of the scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. For I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners.'" Man, that is a powerful section of the Bible, and it just encourages as we think about the Thanksgiving feast. What if our feast might look different for those that sit around our table? And this is what I mean as we go through today. I want us to look at point number one: men of the law. See, the rabbis and the spiritual leaders were held in high esteem. They wore these black robes and these things. They wanted people to know them and to be recognized in the Jewish community. They wanted people to know that they were just a little bit higher and closer to God because they could read out of the scriptures themselves, whereas the local people, most of them were unlearned. So they were above them. Another thing that I find interesting of men of the law back in the day is this, that they looked down on sinners and especially tax collectors. See, they came and they asked his disciples. They didn't go up to Jesus. Don't you find it interesting? Here's these religious law people. "Why are you sitting down with these sinners, these scum?" And on top of it, tax collectors. See, tax collectors are kind of what I would call like people who work for the IRS, the tax man. You ever had the tax man come show up at your house or have to sit in a meeting and go over your past year's taxes and to make sure that you paid enough tax? Man, nobody likes the IRS person, the tax man, because they're trying to take more money from us than what we've already given, and we really don't want to give up anymore, do we? And I think that's important for us to look at today is Jesus always comes after people who we don't necessarily recognize. And here's another part of this as we look at the men of law. They were part of the elite religious circle. They were men who thought they were simply better than everyone else, and they only hung around people who were as righteous as them. They were the guardians of tradition. I think that's important for us to look at. Sometimes in church, we can get that same sort of point of view, or even sometimes as pastors can come off as a pious view or come off to a place where, you know what, I'm a little bit closer because I read my Bible or do these different things. Now, I'm not saying all pastors do, but what I am saying is sometimes it's easy to get into a place of thinking where we're just a little bit better than someone else. I think Christians have got to be especially careful of that as well. We can't come off as men and women of the law thinking, you know what, we know our Bible and those heathens that walk around us don't, and we are simply better than they are. We're going to heaven and they're not. And I find it interesting in the story that, you know, Jesus, he confronts them. We're going to talk about that later, but he doesn't mess around. He goes right after these people. He has no time for it. Which brings me to point number two this morning is this, is that Jesus ate with sinners. See, Jesus broke spiritual taboos. He didn't do the normal things. He didn't always want to sit with the people who were the righteous ones, the ones who thought they were already saved. Jesus always would go out and sit with other people. See, the Pharisees, they condemned him for that. They were being legalistic. They disregarded people for their past. And see, I think that's important for us as men and women, as Christians, that we truly give an opportunity for those who have a past. And we don't look at the past, but look at who they are and how Christ sees them. I know for me, I actually try to pray that prayer. Lord, help me to see people from your perspective. Because isn't it true that everyone has a past? Everyone has something that has gone before them. That's why I always call, I love it when God always comes, when Jesus always would call out his disciples, he called them out to who they could be. Look at Peter. Peter was actually, you know, Jesus changed his name from Simon to Peter because Peter was the man that Jesus could always see. Simon had a past. He was not humble. He was always getting upset, always getting angry, sticking his foot in his mouth multiple times. But Jesus saw something in Peter that Peter couldn't see for himself. And I think that's important for us as men and women who are Christians, to see people from a different perspective. See people from a vantage point of what could be. I've often shared with you, I hang out with this guy, and I love him. I love for how I see the change in his life. He has a welding shop. He has men who work under him. And I tell you what, at times when we hang out together, man, it's just raw. It's just raw. But what I like about this man is I look at what could be and what can be. And I sit there and ask myself, if I don't spend time and give and disciple him and come alongside him, what opportunity does he have for change? Because truth of the fact, folks, the closest thing that some people will ever get to the Bible is through you. They're not going to read it. They're going to experience it by your lifestyle and how you do life yourself. And because I don't know about you, but I sin. I make mistakes. I sin daily. Anybody who says they don't, I'm sorry, that is not true. Now, I don't willingly go out and sin, but I make mistakes and I have things in my life that just simply happen and create sin in my life. And so, how can I ever truly look down on someone else when they are a sinner, same as me? You know, I'm thankful today. You've heard me share this story, and I'm just going to say it again. I'm thankful for a man by the name of Pastor Hinnicky at the Church of the Nazarene in Oskaloosa, clear back in the late 70s, who built the church here in Oskaloosa. It no longer stands. It's burnt. Now there's duplexes being built in that very location. But here's the thing about this pastor. This pastor would go in after my father. My dad, back in his younger days, along with other men, had a time in his life where he drank a lot. He was an alcoholic. But see, this pastor, he reminds me a lot of Jesus in the story. He would go into the taverns after my father and sit and wait and walk out with my dad. Didn't come off as pious, didn't come off as something more or greater than anybody else. He simply went down and befriended my father across the table and talked him out of the place where he was. See, if we're truly going to be changed, folks, and have a different kind of feast in our lives and doing things, how about the people that sit around your table? We assume that everybody knows Jesus, don't we? But what if this Thanksgiving, for that person who doesn't, instead of having a mindset of looking at them from a perspective of maybe they don't agree with how you think or don't agree with the God that you serve, what if you simply came through a place of friendship like Jesus did and ate with them, laughed with them, and enjoyed the day? And let the word of God work through you as disposed of judging and speaking through them. Which brings me to point number three. Jesus saw individuals and not sinners. See, Jesus never gave people labels. A lot of times we want to label people. We want to label them for what they have been in their past. Oh, there goes that Mike Sarig, that man from Oski, that man who has a past, that man who had made big mistakes in his life. No, God saw something different in me. I'm thankful for a man who came alongside me, and I've had different men do that, but I'll never forget Pastor Keith Corver up in Pella. He saw me in the potential of what could be in my life. He walked alongside me, and I'll never forget what he did in my life. And I've been trying to do the same thing with other men. Walk alongside them in the midst of the mistakes that are made and see what God can use in them and what God could do in their lives. See, Jesus, he sought to meet their needs. And out of doing that, he spent time being around them. He ate with them. He had compassion for them. Here's another interesting thing as we look at this feast and this portion of the Bible. See, sinners actually wanted to hang out with Jesus. In my mind, I think that they were sitting around, they were eating, they were fellowshipping, and they were just having a good time. And I don't think Jesus talked theology to them. I don't think he talked religion to them at all. And I think he saw something in Matthew, a tax collector, a man who the Jews hated. They see tax collectors back. Any Jewish tax collector worked for the Romans. They were working for the people who were out to kill them, and they were making profit from them. And Jesus sees something in Matthew. He says, "Come and follow me." And what I love about this portion of the Bible is that Matthew immediately got up. Something about what Jesus said and something what Jesus saw in Matthew that Matthew didn't see in himself, that he left everything to follow Christ. You know, if Matthew had not followed Jesus, we would not have the book of Matthew to read, because the book of Matthew is in accordance of coming from the perspective of the Jewish person. And that's important for us, because the book of Luke comes from the portion of the Gentile, how the Gentiles look at Jesus. Matthew wanted to see the perspective from the Jewish person. That's important. And I think that's important for us today, of seeing things through perspective, seeing through things of a different lens, especially during Thanksgiving. Which brings me to my final point this morning is this, that Jesus didn't require people to change before coming to them. He sought them out. See, a lot of times we want, in our Christian circles, we only want people to come to us that and hang out with us are people that have changed. That's why I love at Vital Men. And when we have these meetings, and I love men who don't know Christ and men who don't know anything about the Bible and are illiterate and will ask sometimes the craziest questions at Vital Men. I love that. But where else are they going to ask those questions? See, too often when we get into church and somebody makes a point or stands up and says something during a sermon because simply they don't know, and they don't know the appropriate way of doing it, we want to escort them out. We want to tell them, you're not welcome. This is not a place to ask the question, as opposed to looking at where they come back from their circumstance. They don't know. They've never been to church before. And I sit there, Jesus says this. He says he didn't come. He said, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. So where is the place of the church? Are we just simply wanting all healthy people to come to our church? Or do we truly allow a place for sick people to come? People who don't know Christ. People in which we can disciple them. People who might come and do things. What if we had people that came to our church that simply came from the night before, from being hungover, or maybe being a little bit high, or all those different things, or maybe if they don't dress, or maybe to the point they have a little bit of body odor? Would we welcome those kind of people in our church? Or are we too righteous and saying, you know what, you can't come until you clean up? And I think that's important for us today. If we're truly going to have a different kind of feast, we're going to have a different type of attitude of gratitude, we've got to start looking at people from a different perspective like Jesus did. Jesus came to them. He came after them. My Bible says that Jesus came after me. I didn't go after him. He came after me. And when he did come after me, that is when I realized I needed a Savior, and he showed me my sins, and he said, sin no more. And a lot of times we forget about that. See, a lot of times I share with my friends, and sometimes the man I was sharing with you, I talk pretty straight with him at times. I tell him, hey man, you need to cut this out. You need to look at this from a different perspective. Sometimes I'm absolutely blunt with the conversation, and sometimes I'm soft and gentle because I know that's how it's supposed to come. But this man has made leaps in his life. I'm proud to call him my friend. I'm proud to see the road that he is headed on and how God is working in his life. And folks, I pray that we have those kind of friends in our lives, those kind of people that are on the fringe, those kind of people that, you know what, other people just don't like to hang around with them because they're obnoxious, they cut to the point, they're just different kind of folks. See, Jesus, he saw people for what they could be. And then the last part of this, I'm going to read it again. It says this. Now go and learn the meaning of the scripture, Jesus tells the Pharisees. For I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. Man, isn't that good? He doesn't want your sacrifice. He wants your life. When you give Jesus your life, that becomes your sacrifice. That becomes the change of what God is calling for us. And folks, if I encourage us as we go to Thanksgiving, again, we assume that everybody sitting around the table has faith. And sometimes they don't. I know there's sometimes family members in my family, I know for a fact, don't have a relationship with Jesus. And when I look from that perspective, I've got to change on how I see things. How God is calling me. How God is wanting to have changes in my life. Folks, I'm on the journey just like you. I am learning life. And I am not perfect in it by any means. And please don't ever think that. I ask for an umbrella of mercy that anyone ever think that Mike Sarig thinks he's got it together. I don't. Only thing I got together is knowing that Jesus is my Lord. That is it. And out of that is how I try to work. Because folks, the truth of the fact is, there's nothing good in me except Jesus, period. So I hope as this Thanksgiving, you're headed to this Thursday, you get an opportunity to sit around people who may not necessarily have faith. maybe even in your family. Maybe even taking a stretch where you invite somebody who's out of your family circle to sit at your table, like what Jesus did. And you have this different kind of feast, a different kind of Thanksgiving. That's the challenge that I believe all of us have as we look at the season of having an attitude of a gratitude. See, folks, that is action. Gratitude is action lived out, and how your perspective is and how you see God and how you see yourself through Him changes your attitude, makes it so you're gracious and thankful for what God has done for you. I hope you get that perspective today. I believe Jesus tried to show that to Matthew, and by doing so, it changed Matthew's life forever. Let's pray. Dear Lord, again, I want to thank you for this day. Thank you for the time of where we can come and we can sit as a nation and we set a day apart for thankfulness. You know, I know not all of our nation is God-honoring and God-fearing, but there are many who are. There is always a remnant. And Jesus, we want to thank you this day for Thanksgiving, for the provision of 2021. The harvest has brought in, both in the physical sense, and I believe also coming in the spiritual sense. Help us to have eyes and see the things in other people from your perspective. Not from our eyes of our own flesh, but through spiritual eyes of seeing how you see people, how you want us to see them. And by doing so, Jesus, I believe that we can help people come to know you and get saved. Because you're calling them, just like you did Matthew, just like you did Peter, just like you did me, and those that are listening. I thank you, Jesus, for who you are. In your name I pray. Amen. Folks, I hope that this series of attitude of gratitude is not just for the month of November, but it is a year of living, of changed lives. And most of all, happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy your time. Be blessed. I'm Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.